somewhere along the way, we have to learn how to hear and how to respond. And so we take these first Sundays of the month for that particular reason. Now, one of the things that wars against us in our ability and willingness to respond to the leadership of the Holy Spirit is twofold. First of all, is the issue of reason. Most of us have been trained to be reasonable. Now, reason is a function of the soul, not a function of the spirit per se. The second obstacle we face is fear. Because we're afraid we're going to misrepresent him, we're afraid we're going to be wrong, we're afraid we're going to be rejected. There's just a fear thing that works to intimidate us and keep us away from responding to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, the problem we face is so often we don't recognize we have been created to function in two realms simultaneously. God gives us his spirit so that we can relate to God spirit to spirit. For the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, bears witness where? With our spirit that we are the children of God. So this is where the connection actually takes place. But in our pre-Christ experience, what ruled us? Our soul and its ability to reason. Now, do you believe that the human soul wants to connect with God? Anybody ever heard of a false religion? You ever been to a seance? You ever listened to these 1-800 numbers? Okay. The human soul has a quest to be reunited with the Father because we were designed to relate to him. But the soul does not have any capacity to relate to the Holy Spirit. You relate spirit to spirit. And it is in that context you acquire the mind of Christ by revelation. When God created us, he breathed himself into this creature. And man is the only being out of all creation who carries the breath of God in himself. But when our great-great-great-great ancestors sinned, what happened? That connection was cut off. And in the connecting, in the disconnecting, something took place. Reason began to be the vehicle for the creation of culture. In the absence of a living connection, spirit to spirit, the reasoning of the soul became the mechanism that created culture. And here we are coming to Christ, let's say 7,000 years down the road. So is the culture already in place? And what is the culture? The culture is self-provision, self-protection, and self-promotion, because that is the driving compassions of the human soul. So when you come into the body of Christ, you don't come into the body of Christ in a neutral position. You come in having been crafted by whatever particular culture you were raised. Now, my particular culture is a Southern culture. How many Yankees do we have in the room? All right. We don't come from the same culture. Although we speak the same language, we don't have the same culture. And in our multi-ethnic congregation, we've got cultures from various parts of the world, and they all come in with a particular way of viewing life. And it is that culture that interprets the scripture for you. Do you understand what I just said? Your culture is the interpreter of scripture for you apart from revelation of the Holy Spirit. Because only he can give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning the things of God. Now, there's a song that gets sung around here from time to time, and I just kind of put up with it. It says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Now, that's only half of that scripture. The other half of that scripture says this, "But he has revealed these things to us by his spirit." So we are people of revelation. The problem we have is that we have been trained to respond in reason. How many of you know that reading the scripture does not teach you the thoughts of God? Because you will reason the scripture. Anybody ever been exposed to systematic theology? Ho, 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 ho. Systematic theology was the natural mind's response to scientific inquiry. When evolution came into being, scientific inquiry came to the forefront. Religion went to the side. Religion says we got to get in the game. So they started reasoning like the scientists reason. And we ended up with systematic theology. Now, it's helpful in some limited regard, but I promise you it is not revelation. Just pick several different systematic theology books from different theological perspectives and you see there's not a lot of agreement. Okay? So when we talk about responding to the Holy Spirit, we have these obstacles that we have to face. And it's antithetical to the way God wants to train us. Why do you suppose the scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable, which is a reasonable spiritual act of worship. And that you be transformed in your thinking. What part has to be transformed? All the stuff you came in with. God says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. So there's got to be some change taking place, and it must occur in us, not him. All right? Okay. Thank you for your enthusiastic response. Now, some of you need proof texting, and I'll give you a few. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Scripture says that God breathed into the form, and man became a living soul. The Spirit of God issued forth into his Son, and his Son stood up as a living soul. What? He has access to his Father, spirit to spirit. But his soul has been created to relate to and represent the Father in creation. But when you cut that off, what are you left with? Just the soul reasoning. However, Romans chapter 1 says that men are without excuse because the invisible attributes of God have been made known to us by the things which we can see. That is, God, knowing the end from the beginning, recognized he was going to have to put indicators in creation to remind his fallen creation he's still here. And it becomes the means by which we become reawakened to the awareness of God. You might not have known God, but you were pretty sure there was a God because you said in your heart, how can all of this be without a God? I mean, why is it that everything shrinks when it gets cold? Except water, which does what? It expands. Something is backwards. How can that possibly be? Well, they're now talking about divine design, and we understand there's a divine designer. But as we consider responding to the Holy Spirit, we have to begin to appreciate the fact that our response mechanisms needs to be one of obedience to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, as we try to learn how to respond, there needs to be an inordinate amount of grace that we dispense toward one another. I used to love it early on when the Lord was training me that my palms would get wet, my throat would get dry, the heart palpitations would start, and my brain would say, oh, that's just me. The only time it ever happened was when I was in an atmosphere of worship and felt this thing like I'm supposed to say something. So I have an appreciation for the nervousness with which we start, but as you keep saying yes, that stuff becomes passe and you become normative in your representation of the Lord. In our In our examination of Scripture, you will recall that Jesus on the cross said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He was dying. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. In fact, let me read this to you because some of us don't go to Ecclesiastes very often. I was visiting it again recently and I thought this might be pertinent. In Ecclesiastes 12, 5. It says, furthermore, men, it's dealing with death. Okay, this passage is dealing with the death of a human being, human life. It says, furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. All of those metaphors speak about the end of something. And then the writer says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Do you have a spirit? You're not like the other creatures that God created. He put in you the ability to respond to Him spirit to spirit. But when that spirit was cut off, it has to be reanimated by the Holy Ghost, and we call that being born again. That is, the life of the Spirit of God is reinstituted in you, and you become animated once again in your spirit, because your spirit has a mind, just like your soul has a mind. And the spirit that has a mind can relate to the Holy Spirit to give you access to the mind of Christ. Now, on previous teachings, I've brought to our attention that the anointing of the Christ is unique in this sense. Christ is the only vehicle that is capable of assimilating into himself all believers. So when he's called the Son of God, what are you called? The Son of God. Why? Because you are in Christ. Know you not that those of you who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? So when God looks in from beginning, who does he see at the end? He sees the corporate man. And who constitutes the corporate man? All believers in Christ. Okay? Now, if we are that man, then we have that same spirit. For that same spirit which raised Christ from the dead will not only be with you, but shall be in you. So we're looking to train our spirits to respond to the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of Christ. And Christ says of this spirit, when he comes, he will not speak of himself, but he will take what is mine and show it to you. He'll reveal it to you. Do you think there's some things that we might want to hear from the Lord today? Is it possible, thank you, darling, is it possible that some of us need to hear a word of encouragement? Is it possible that some of us need to hear a word of comfort? Is it possible we need to be edified? And who is supposed to speak on his behalf?
Oh, those people on the second row, they always speak on his behalf. No.
Who's supposed to speak on his behalf? Who?
The us. That is correct. So the reason we do what we do on these first Sundays of the month is to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to train you to respond to him outside of the classroom. Welcome to the classroom. But outside of the classroom. See, the Spirit of God is never out of step with what the Father intends. And as we become more and more integrated into his thinking, more and more responsive to him, we end up not being out of step with the Father. Will your soul recoil against that?
Yes. Was there ever a time the soul did not?
Yes.
When was that? Before the fall. Because the spirit is supposed to rule the soul so that the spirit receives its instructions from the Father and the soul executes it within creation. But when that got reversed,
the soul began to do what the soul does. It wants what it wants when it wants it. Or have you noticed? Let me say that in practical terms. Get it? Why is it you stand in front of the fridge and the pantry doing that stuff? There's this, well, there's a spiritual. How many of you are satisfied where you are spiritually? Nobody? Yay! You should not be. Because maturation into the character of God is the goal of the Holy Spirit. Maturing us in the love of God, which is our new nature, is His agenda. And so as we yield to His leadership, you can expect these things to find an infusion of growth. Now, in our cultural inculcation, culture is that generations of thought and practice that appear to be normative. But many of your practices are not normative outside of your culture. So when we come into the kingdom, we have a new culture to learn. And it is at odds with the culture from which you came. The stereotypes that we hear thrown about so freely, people just sort of nod their head. Yeah, that's kind of like, that's the truth, you know. All blondes are dumb, right? Have you not heard that? Have they not been made stereotypical idiots? Have you never heard a blonde joke in your life? Although some of them are pretty funny. Those things become kind of like, you know, and why is it you can notice a blonde in a room full of brunettes? Because she's blonde. She stands out in the crowd. All right, send me into Africa. Do I stand out in the crowd? Absolutely. So we need to get beyond these inculcated thoughts to the reality of what the Holy Spirit will show us. I have many epiphanal moments with the Holy Spirit on this journey. Now, I want to spend just a few minutes with us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to lead us through some drills this morning that are designed to help us prepare and present ourselves so that God might speak to us through one another. Okay? Now, beginning again in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we'll read it a little more specifically. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to do what? To present your bodies. Did you bring your body with you today? Good, good. Now, how are you to present your body? There might be a hint here. Let's look. A living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. God is interested in your physical makeup. How many of you know that that smoking is bad for you? Do you think there's anyone, is it possible that there might be someone in the American culture who does not know smoking is bad for you? I think not. Okay? Unless they're living someplace that has no electricity, deep in some mountain range somewhere. And they're probably smoking something they found there. Okay? Now, what would be the point of me wasting time preaching against smoking? You already know that. What does that tell you? Knowledge does not change things. Threat changes things. When you go to the doctor and he says, we have spots on your lungs, guess what? Suddenly you're interested in presenting your body as a holy sacrifice a long, long time ago. But in our stewardship of this tabernacle of his presence, there's some ownership that we have to take of it. And being responsible in the way we manage this thing is an important part of that. But there are other aspects of your body. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. How many of you have discovered that when your mind gets renewed, some of those you've known a long, long time take sharp exception with your new perspective? Mm-hmm. But how many of you have had those encounters with God where you had a moment of clarity that altered the patterns of your life? See, that's the spirit of revelation. The spirit of wisdom is the one that tells you to keep your mouth shut so you actually understand what just happened to you. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And I'm going to tell you, 50-something years into this walk with the Lord, that's a process. It's not a revelation in the moment. You have to keep moving forward for this pattern to become normalized for you. Now, Paul says that through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. That's another way of saying you should defer to one another. You should be humble in the presence of one another. Have you ever known an arrogant Christian? Aren't they fun to be around? Not. Okay. So, part of the self-righteousness that people embrace, execute, and practice is not often recognized for what it is. Have you ever heard anyone say, I'm a good Christian. Why is this happening to me? Have you ever heard that phrase? Okay. Have you ever unpackaged that phrase? Okay, let's unpackage the phrase. I'm a good Christian. By what standard? I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do this and I don't do that and I do this and I do that. You're a good Christian now, right? Because you don't and you do. What is that? That is self-righteousness. You have found a standard that you can participate in, and by your standard, God owes you something. So let no one think more highly of themselves than they ought to think, but let them think soberly. Now, here's the problem. When your definition of God and your relationship to Him is you keeping the rules, you know the doctrine, and by God, you're going to keep it. That is the basis of self-righteousness. And it's a reasoned self-righteousness. Bible says this, I do that, I'm good. Bible says that, I'm good. Because it's the wrong standard. On what basis are you righteous? Because God has placed you in Christ Jesus. Period. That's it. Your righteousness is not of yourself. You have it because you are in Christ. But what about all this other stuff? Look, does love do stuff? If your nature is love, do you do stuff? But do you do it for a reward? Or do you do it because you're motivated by love? Self-righteousness expects a return for what I did. Love gives expecting nothing in return, because that's the nature. It's the way the Father is. Is this making any sense? Okay, I'm trying to get past your brain and your filters down to where your heart goes, yeah, I know that's the Lord talking to me. Good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Now, if each has a measure of faith, Do you have a measure of faith? Do we have the same measure of faith? No. Do we have the same personalities? No. Do we have the same temperaments? No. Do we have the same gifting? No. Do we have the same spirit?
Yes.
And because we have the same spirit, and we're not exalting ourselves but deferring to one another, then there is place for whatever it is on deposit in you that belongs to us. Because we are his body, not you. We are the corporate man along with those millions of others on this planet. And so when we come together in any one particular place, everyone has a psalm or a hymn or an exhortation, because your measure of faith, wherever it is, has got to be exercised if it's going to increase. Here's what I know after all these years. You go put me anywhere on this planet and the Holy Spirit is going to show up where I am. I promise you that because I know him. And he's demonstrated it in country after country after country. Now, I didn't start there, but I have exercised the portion he gave me to have the confidence that when I go, he will speak and do. But you start where you're sitting, with a yes to the Lord that you'd never abandon. And so, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body, and individually members one of another. Now, what do we do with this? I don't know. All right, then I'll tell you. Here is a manner of responding to such instruction. If, in fact, you're supposed to be presenting yourself holy and a living sacrifice, what might be one of the things that would stain your white garment? And I'm not talking ketchup or mustard. Would it be something called sin? Would sin be one of the reasons you might not approach the Father enthusiastically? Would sin be one of the things that the devil might call to your memory as you start to respond to the Lord and then realize, I'm not worthy to speak on his behalf? Well, if that's the case, in presenting your body, what's one of the first things you would do? Confess your sin.
Oh, I don't have any.
Trust me. He'll show them to you. I already quit smoking. Yeah. Tell me about your attitude towards your father.
No, I won't talk about that.
All right, so one of the things we will do in just a moment is we're going to let the worship team sing a chorus, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us whatever might be on our hands, in our hearts, hidden in our minds, that we have forgotten about or have refused to deal with, and present it to him. Isn't that exciting? Why don't y'all stand? We're going to walk through a few things here, giving the Lord opportunity. Anything in our life that he might finger in us that would be offensive to him. So, if you would please, we're just going to be in the presence of the Lord. We'll let you sing a chorus. We'll pause and we'll go on to the next motion.
I've been longing for truth and light. Help me yield to you your rightful place in my heart. Pure and gentle living word, the sweetest voice I've ever heard. You are welcome here. You are welcome here.
From all unrighteousness. Now, what that means is this: whatever it was you just confessed is over with. Now, you can think about it as him dropping it in the sea of forgetfulness or one of those permanent black Sharpies and you can't read what's underneath it anymore. However you want to pick an image, realize that once you bring that to the Father, it's done. He doesn't keep the video recordings of that. The devil keeps those and will show them to you. And what do you do when he pops that memory up? I've already given that to the Father. You want to talk to somebody about it? You go talk to him. Are we good? These things you have to own, and the Lord will show you the clarity of them. All right, now, one of the issues that is so important to the Lord, Of the seven things that God says makes him really upset, one of them is those who sow discord among the brethren. Okay? Because he considers the body of Christ to be a very valuable thing. Christ died for this corporate man, and he intends for our relationships to be clean and fresh and clear. How many of you know we make mistakes with the lives of others? Okay. And so when we talk about forgiving others, it's often in the form of, well, they sinned against me, I need to go confront them. I'd like to offer a different point of view so that attitude doesn't permeate our reconciliation efforts. When you pray about the wrongdoings, keep this in mind. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. So when you think about praying for whatever that relationship is, let me encourage you to think like this. Father, help me to forgive those who sin differently than I. Now that's a means for not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. It puts us on the even ground at the cross. Yes, somebody offended you. Yes, somebody said something that upset you. Yes, those things are part of life. But as the representatives of the Father, we've got to become Teflon with this stuff. And if it pricks you in such a fashion you can't deal with it personally, then you need to go and be reconciled. But keep in mind, if you do not forgive them their sins, your Father will not forgive you yours. Now, I'm not calling you to go confront one another and that kind of stuff. I'm bringing to your attention that as you present yourself to the Lord routinely, this is one of the important parts of getting access to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, we all have a connectedness to the Holy Spirit. Spirit to spirit. Once we're born again, our spiritual connection is restored. In the book of Acts, we find that they were ministering unto the Lord with fasting and prayer, and the Holy Spirit said.
They were ministering unto the Lord, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas to the work to which I've called them." And as they fasted, laid hands on them, they sent them out, and they moved from being prophets and teachers to being apostles, sent by the Holy Spirit. How many would you like to live in an atmosphere where we could minister unto the Lord and hear the Holy Spirit say something? Oh, I love that. So how do you prime that pump? Here's one of the ways you prime that pump. In Psalm chapter 95, verses 1 and 2, and verse 6. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Sit down for a moment. You're looking tired. 2 weeks ago, I made the appeal that we would return to saying as our morning breath, "Welcome, Holy Spirit." I know that many of you have been attempting that because several of you have told me that you've been doing it. I have recommitted myself aggressively to that and am able to report to you that in this 2 week span, I have had multiple encounters with the Holy Spirit out there in the day. He just shows up because I have said to him, "Welcome, Holy Spirit, walk with me through the day." In that same 2 week period, two personally important, relationally prayer requests have been answered, things I've been after for over 2 years, and they both got answered in that same period of time. Now, I'm saying, "Thank you, Lord. I come into his presence with thanksgiving because I've got something to thank him about." It's not just, "Well, thank you, Lord, I didn't die in the night. Thank you, God, that I still have breakfast." You know, I'm grateful for all that. But what is it in your life for which you can say, "Thank you, Lord, for..." Okay? So we're going to go back into worship, looking to prime the pump with thanksgiving. Come into his presence with thanksgiving into your heart. Enter his courts with praise. Because that's like a magnet for the angelic and the Holy Spirit. When you start going, "You know, you did a really good job and I'm real proud of you," he just goes, "Well, tell me more." Okay? So what we're going to do is this. We're going to stand. We're going to go to worship. And if you have a one or two sentence, I don't want to hear a life story. A one or two sentence, that means less than 60 or 90 seconds. One or two, are we clear? One or two sentence praise report. I want you to come up here and give it. Just tell the Lord, "Thank you for." Okay? Now, anytime we get three people in a row, this is going to dial down and you're going to go. And we will expect the Holy Spirit to speak and say something, okay? Would you stand?
praying for quite a few months, but Robert got a job with the Navy. He's transferring, so he's not retiring. And the second one still hasn't been done yet, but we're praising the Lord. We have interest in buyers of a house. So we're just praising the Lord. And it all happened in one day. So thank you, Lord.
As many of you know, I'm a veterinarian. My daughter was trying to get into vet school. She got accepted to a Caribbean school, which was okay. We praise God for that. But we really praise, and Sarah Catherine was praying that it would be in the United States. Well, guess what? She got accepted to three more state schools. It was Iowa State, my alma mater, which is wonderful. Auburn, which is a Robert Baker's alma mater, and LMU, which is a new school in Tennessee, only 8 hours away. That was her top choice. So she's going to LMU.
Well, this week, the Lord's, that might seem like a small thing, but the Lord's been the provider of a good idea, a solution to a mechanical problem I've been wrestling with for about a year and a half. I happened to notice it, and the Lord pointed it out. So we were able to fix it with a 30-cent screw.
Pat and I have a 33-year-old son who we have been praying for 15 years. He has a severe addiction to alcohol. He entered into treatment 13 weeks ago. He has been sober. He's in his right mind. He has had a spiritual awakening, and he is professing Jesus as his Savior.
This month marks 2 years severe depression and suicidal thought free for me, and it's also about 8 months free of my antipsychotics.
Three days before Mahesh got here, I was at my doctor and they told me I needed a new knee. I can't go all the way down, but if I can't balance myself.
Okay, there have been many intercessors praying for Catherine when she was at Hood for her inner varsity group, because she was praying for a Joshua to take over when she goes to the vet school. Well, the Lord has just blessed her socks off. There have been a lot more people, I mean, even more than when she started out 4 years ago. She's trained new leaders, and so the Lord has really blessed that ministry of inner varsity up at Hood College. Thank you very much.
The Lord has been giving me us a lot of answers in our life, as if you probably didn't know what that means, for our future. Praise God. God has also been giving me a lot of answers in my own personal life, including creative solutions to my artistry, which has been many years that it's been dormant. And God has been giving me creative solutions to market my art. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord has also given me a new boldness to start to minister and reach out to people in the marketplace. I've had two opportunities within the last 2 weeks to pray for a gentleman and a lady, two different occasions, and at Walmart and Hobby Lobby. And the lady at Hobby Lobby was in a wheelchair, sick. Wayne and I reached out to her the other night, and God gave me the opportunity to pray for her, and we exchanged information. I invited her to church, and another young man who is in the Lord but has been away from church for a while, a couple of weeks ago at Walmart, I stepped out. God gave me the boldness. I invited him to church. I prayed for him. He's having me follow up with them. So, you know, I'm just blessed, because my prayer has always been to be used of him and just to be his vessel. And God has been just giving me that boldness for people in the marketplace. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I want to thank God for this small men's group that I have had the privilege to attend about a month ago. I brought to their attention some friends of mine that needed prayer. One of my friends I grew up with, he is an ex-Marine and a biker. And he got lung cancer, and I had the privilege to spend a morning with him about a month ago. And I'm happy, but I'm sad. But I know now he's sitting with Jesus. He He's in no more pain from the lung cancer. We prayed. He said, Steve, you know how many times I've been saved? I said, Johnny, you've been saved one time. I said, God has chastised you many times. And there's no difference between you and I, Johnny. We're brothers in Christ Jesus. And he prayed with insurance, so I'm insured that he's with Jesus now. And then I thank God for the other prayer that I asked for at that group. Just four or five men in a room is all it took. My friend Linda has rededicated her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And her husband, because of the change in her, has dedicated his life to our Lord Jesus Christ. And now she's posting all of these things on Facebook, giving God the glory. And we should give God the glory. And one more last thing real quick. I think I mentioned to you, there was a man that threatened to kill me several times last summer in text messages and to my face. And God just has me pray for him and pray for him. And I asked if I could pray for him about 3 months ago, and he began to curse me. Well, I found out about a week ago that he's very near death with cancer and that he's given his heart to Christ. So pray for your enemies. Lift them up. Worship God and give him the glory.
Thank you, Steve.
Hi, my name is Debbie Berry, and I live right around the corner. I want to give God praise because he brought me back from death. Jesus, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and dementia, and it was to the point that I lost over 100 pounds. And hospice was brought in, and they said that they would take me, but there wouldn't be anything they would do. And my daughter did not give up, and she kept praying, and she's my hero, along with my father, who is my greatest hero. And in a few months, I just came up out of the dementia, and I can remember my name. I can remember my birthday. I can write my name again. And it's all because of my father. My father.
Thank you, Lord.
And I just give him all the praise for
it. Thank you, Lord.
He loves you. And he has a plan.
Oh, I see.
Some great reports of what God has done. Now I want to give a few minutes to what God might do, what he might say, who he might heal, who he might encourage. So as you are attempting to learn how to respond, I want to say to you, you can't make errors that are so gross that we'll never let you in the building again. Okay? There is grace here as learners, and we're here to help you learn. So as you consider, oh God, if you're going to, oh God, speak to me, I think, please, maybe. Whatever it is you're going to go through, I want to make these recommendations to you. When you perceive or discern or think perhaps the Holy Spirit is revealing or prompting or impressing or showing or hinting or in any other way trying to communicate to or through you, he will say some things that are specifically for you. He will say other things that are for us. What I'd like you to do, Peggy, if you would, Peggy is our prophetic lead today. And if you sense that God has a message or a picture or a word or a smell or whatever, bring it to Peggy and submit it to her. Tell her what you think you perceive. And what she'll do is help you prepare to tell us how to say that. Now, one of the things we don't allow at our Father's house is this. Thus saith the Lord. We don't go that foolish route for this reason. I'll tell you whether or not it was the Lord, because we're going to judge it. So rather than put you in some kind of pressure moment, what we advise you to do is come and say, you know, I believe that I think that the Lord is showing me, and then say it. And we put this caveat on the end of it. I submit this to you for your consideration. Because if it's the Holy Spirit, He will bear witness in the spirits of those who are the hearers. It says in the scripture that if it's Him, He will reveal the secret things of the heart. That is to say, you've not told anybody how frustrated you are that you don't have a husband, or you can't have a baby, or you've got this pressure. And when He comes and puts His finger on that, He's telling you He's in control of your situation. And it encourages you. We don't speak about people's sins publicly. We never do that kind of stuff. We speak edification, exhortation, and comfort, because that's what broken people need to hear. So in this house, we take that approach, and we invite you to learn with us how to respond to Him. So this next chorus will begin after we each say this. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to speak to me and to speak to your people through me. Are you ready to say that? If you're not, don't say it. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to speak to me and your people through me. We have just come into agreement with Him. Now let's give a chorus to hear from the Holy Spirit.
Wonderful Savior, my heart belongs to Thee. I will remember always the blood You shed for me. Wonderful Savior, my heart will know You. Be blessed. Jesus. How may I bless your heart? Knees to the earth, I bow down to everything you are. Beautiful Jesus, you are my only love. So let me embrace you.
Just out of curiosity, how many of you felt like the Lord said something to you and you haven't shared it yet? Okay. I suspected as much. Well, while you're getting up the nerve to come share it, Peggy will be sharing two or three things here in a moment, I want to bring something to your attention. I was in conversation with my spiritual father this week, and in our engagement, he was sharing with me a series of events that has occurred in his life with 30 different people. And each of those persons were sharing with him how they felt like they had hit a wall in the Lord. And they just couldn't go forward. And these are leaders in the household, in the spiritual household. Well, about 10 people into the 30, it finally occurred to him, hey, there's a pattern here. What is this? And so he turned to the Lord and began to pursue him, saying, what is it that we're dealing with? And the Lord began to say to him that he is preparing his body for what is coming. And it's a very particular kind of preparation. When on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he made this statement that the devil is coming and he has nothing in me. I began to share with my spiritual father the encounters that I've had along the way that are similar to that. And the people that I have worked with in which the Lord would show up and give me a word of knowledge and they'd be instantaneously set free. And his report was, that's what's going on with these. Now, circumstantially, Linnea and her team, who have been working in Transforming Truth Ministries for a long, long time, dealing with the lies that people believe, have reported to me that Ed Smith and son are revamping their whole approach to ministry so that we can hand to you the tools you need so that you can come to the place where you personally can say, the devil is coming and he has nothing in me. This is an emphasis we're going to pursue in the fall of this year so that there is not anything, no bungee cords to the past, no generational junk hanging over you, so that you're absolutely free to be instantaneously responsive to the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the segue into the words we're going to share that are in that same vein for this morning.
Son.
Nancy?
Okay. Thank you.
With the words that have been shared with me this morning, it's very obvious that the Lord wants us to know that there is hope for wherever you are. There is hope. And he's speaking about people who have been locked into things that they think they cannot get out of. Louise had an image of a pool, an above-the-ground pool, if you can picture it, that was black. The liner was black. The water was black. Everything was just, it was just not a nice pool. And there were people in it, and they couldn't get out. And, you know, we know that that is an image of people being locked in sin and not being able to escape. But a ladder appeared in the pool, and the people were able to climb out, literally climb out. But it was higher than the pool, so it gave them a different perspective so they could look around. And then they could get out of that situation. Pastor had an image of an eagle in a canyon or like crevasse, and it was just being held on the wind. It was not going higher, it was not going lower, it was just kind of tottering, it wasn't able to escape. And then an updraft came and lifted it out. I believe that's what the Lord is saying to us today, that no matter where you find yourself, whether you think you're locked into something and you can't move like the eagle, or there are things that are holding on to you, whether it is sin, it is, and you've never confessed the Lord as Savior, or you lapse into sin. Everyone has a sin nature. So I think that's what he's saying to us. He's saying he's here, he's available, he can set you free. And we know that he says those who wait upon the Lord can rise up with wings like eagles, and you can soar free. And when you soar free, Molly has something that she wants to share with you when you find that freedom.
This week I was watching Right Now video with Mark Batterson, and he taught me something that, he just said something that really struck me. And so when I welcome the Holy Spirit, when Lenny asked us to just welcome him, that's the first thing I heard. And I said, well, I can't share that. That's not me. That's Mark Batterson. And he said, and I said, well, you know, and I'm actually talking to him like that, saying, you know, do you really want me to do that? And he said, the words that are from ordained people or words from the scripture, you know, they're still the truth, and it doesn't have anything to do with me. So anyway, the message was that when you give everything to Jesus, all of you, your heart and your mind and your soul, you know, totally over to him, then he incredibly gives all of himself to you. So all of those, you know, the things that Lenny was talking about this morning with us being in Christ, like all of that's us, because we've given ourselves and he gives back better than we could ever give. So that's it.
There are several of you who have not volunteered to Peggy what it is you believe you've heard. I invite you in this next motion to do that for your sake, so that it can be confirmed that you have in fact heard. Because if it's weird out there on the edge, nonsense, we'll have you reconsider. But you want to be able to be confirmed in the fact that you hear. Now, as we go through this closing chorus, what I want to do is suggest this to you. It would be unlike the Lord to give these kinds of exhortations toward freedom and not give the grace to set you free. So if you are responding, if you felt the tug of the Holy Spirit in those exhortations to get liberated, we're going to give you a chance to come to the altar and just do business with the Lord. Receive the invitation of his grace to deliver you from whatever that constraint is, because he has opened up the doorway for that. Would you stand, please? bathroom available for those who might. We'll have some folks available if you want people to pray with you. Peggy will be here for those of you who want to go ahead and submit what you thought you heard to her. The altar is open for those of you who want to be set free.
Christ is Lord, Lord and King. All glory to your name, all honor to your majesty.
Thank you.
things that had been shared. And one was that this lady had an impression that there was someone who felt that they were so insignificant that they were just like a black dot, that they were of no consequence to the Lord or to anybody else, but they were just like a black dot. And we know that that's not true, because everyone has worth and value. And another word was that there are those among you who will be experiencing an upgrade in various things. So if you're in a transitional stage, that there are upgrades coming for you. And I would like to invite this young man to speak to you personally with the word that he has from the Lord.
That's good. My word today is, no matter how many evil people there is always that special few. There is light in every corner, in every dark place. No matter how much of this present darkness there is, this world is not emptied of light.
A word with us that as long as there are two, Jesus and you, everything is good.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. There should be refreshments in the lobby. Greet one another on the way out. If you need prayer, the altar is still open.
Don't forget, Pastor Lanny is 2 weeks in Cuba, leaving Thursday. Please keep him in your prayers, that the Lord would move in a mighty way and continue in what he is doing here throughout that island nation.